Welcome to Chandler Reformed Church on this fourth Sunday of Advent and also the morning of Christmas Eve. Whether you're a longtime member or you're visiting here with us today, this is God's house and all are welcome. My name is Ann Sarda, and as many of you know, I grew up here, so it's truly an honor to be asked to be leading worship with you today in this place that gifted me with a strong foundation of faith that I have with me still today. My husband Chris and my family, Allie and Harrison, all greet you this morning, as does my home church of St. David's in the Twin Cities. There's one announcement. In the condolences to the extended family of Marie Vandertop, on the screen we noticed that Evelyn Runia's name was omitted, so we want to extend our condolences to her and her family as well. And now there'll be a committee report from the Buildings and Grounds.
Good morning.
The first thing I wanted to say was my daughter told me on the way here if I get nervous or scared or see somebody making a funny face at me to think about horses and unicorns, so that's my goal. So I just wanted to give you a little update on the Buildings and Grounds, the parsonage, what we've been doing across the street there. A lot of you have probably noticed Tinkerberg TNR has been working on the deck. And he's complete with that. He's got a new deck on there. The old one had had some issues. It was starting to fall apart and stuff. But we did have a warranty on that. So majority of the new deck was covered by the payment of warranty on the old one. So that was a real good deal there. And then we've had multiple carpenters come in and look at different things in the parsonage. One of the things was cabinets, flooring we've been looking at, and doing some painting and texturing. For those of you, when we had the open doors on the parsonage, you came in, looked through, you know what we're talking about, had an opportunity there to come see. And so we're in discussion about that and the best way to move forward. And some options were getting laid out with a few different people that this is what they do. This is their job. So we're getting a lot of insight and been thinking a lot about that, the best plan to go about it. And one thing we discovered when we're doing this, in the attic, in the garage, we had a lot of moisture up in the attic. So one of the issues was the garage had hardly any insulation in it, and that's all open attic all the way across the house. So that got re-insulated. The main part of the house, the insulation was good, and we had a little venting issue, and that all got repaired already. And some of the rafters and supports up above were needed more supporting and was cracked. So at the same time, we took care of that issue also. So that was a good thing that we had some guys looking at that to help save the structure of it first. Yeah, I think that's about all that I have. So that should be good. Thank you for your time.
Please stand for the opening collect. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Please greet one another. Hi.
Today we relight the three candles of the Advent wreath, the candles of hope, peace, and joy. Now we light the fourth candle of Advent. This is the candle of love. Jesus demonstrated self-giving love in his ministry as the Good Shepherd. Advent is a time for kindness, thinking of others, and sharing with others. It is a time to love as God loved us by giving us the most precious gift. As God is love, let us also love one another. In the book of Deuteronomy, we find these words: "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." And from the Gospel of John we hear, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."
Let us pray. Teach us to love, O Lord. May we always remember to put you first as we follow Christ's footsteps, that we may know your love and show it in our lives. As we prepare for our celebration of Jesus' birth, also fill our hearts with love for the world, that all may know your love and the one whom you have sent, your Son, our Savior. Amen. At this time, Children's Church will be in the basement downstairs. So the children are excused at this time for Children's Church.
Beloved in Christ, be it at this season of the year, it is our responsibility and joy to prepare ourselves to hear once more the message of the angels, to go to Bethlehem and see the Son of God lying in a manger. Let us hear and heed in Holy Scripture the story of God's loving purpose from the time of our rebellion against God until the glorious redemption brought to us by this holy child, Jesus. And let us look forward to the yearly remembrance of Christ's birth with hymns and songs of praise. But first, let us pray for the needs of Christ's whole world. For peace and goodwill over all the earth, and for unity in Concord with the church Christ came to build. And because he particularly loves them, let us remember in Christ's name the poor and helpless, the cold, the hungry and the oppressed, the sick in body and in mind, and those that mourn, the lonely and the unloved, the aged and the little children, as well as those who do not know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, let us remember before God that whole multitude which no one can number, whose hope was in the Word made flesh, and with whom, in Jesus, we are one forevermore. And now to sum up all these petitions, let us pray in the words which Christ has taught us, saying, "Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
The first lesson. In the beginning, there was nothing. Nothing to hear, nothing to feel, nothing to see, only emptiness and darkness and nothing but nothing. But God was there, and God had a wonderful plan. I'll take this emptiness, God said, and I'll fill it up. Out of the darkness, I'm going to make light. And out of the nothing, I'm going to make everything. Like a mommy bird flutters her wings over her eggs to help her babies hatch, God hovered over the deep, silent darkness. He was making life happen. God spoke. That's all. And whatever he said, it happened. God said, "Hello, light," and light shone into the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. "You're good," God said, and they were. Then God said, "Hello, sea, hello, sky," and a great space opened up wide and deep and high. "You're good," God said, and they were. Then God said, "Hello, land," and there, splashing up through the oceans, came cliffs, mountains, sandy beaches. "You're good," God said, and they were. "Hello, trees," God said. "Hello, grass and flowers," and everything everywhere burst into life. He made buds bud, shoots shoot, flowers flower. "You're good," God said, and they were. "Hello, stars," God said. "Hello, sun, hello, moon," and whizzing into the darkness came fiery globes, spinning around and around, whirling orange and purple and golden planets. "You're good," God said, and they were. "Hello, birds," God said, and with a fluttering and flapping and chirping and singing, birds filled the skies. "Hello, fish," God said, and with a darting and dashing and wriggling and splashing, fish filled the seas. "You're good," God said, and they were. Then God said, "Hello, animals," and everyone came out to play. The earth was filled with noisy noises, growling and gobbling and snapping and snorting and happy skerfluffling. "You're good," God said, and they were. God saw all that he had made, and he loved them. And they were lovely because he loved them. God saved the best for last. From the beginning, God had a shining dream in his heart. He would make people to share his forever happiness. They would be his children, and the world would be his perfect home. So God breathed life into Adam and Eve. When they opened their eyes, the first thing they ever saw was God's face. And when God saw them, he was like a new dad. "You look like me," he said. "You're the most beautiful thing I've ever made." God loved them with all of his heart, and they were lovely because he loved them.
Thank you. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did you say, 'You shall not eat from the tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pangs in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to the man he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you will be taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man named his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living things, And the Lord God made garments of skins for the man and for his wife and clothed them. When the Lord God said, "See, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, and now he might reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever," therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken.
Thank you. people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace. For the throne of David and his kingdom, he will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time onward and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Thank you.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. I remember when Allie was born, Chris and I would come to church and everyone was happy to see us, but what everyone really wanted was a chance to hold the baby. During the service, we'd get that look from somebody down the row, and we would pass Allie down like the collection plate and hope that eventually she'd start crying so we'd get her back. My mom tells me that something similar happened here in Chandler Reformed Church when I was a baby. And maybe a few of you here still remember this ritual of passing the baby. Everyone just wants to hold the baby. But technically, it's the fourth Sunday of Advent, and Christmas doesn't begin until tomorrow. So at least until sundown, we aren't quite ready to pass the Christmas baby down the aisle. So I would like to back up a few pages in the story and look at the Gospel of Luke, where we hear about Mary's visit from the angel Gabriel. It's called the Annunciation, which simply means announcement. The Annunciation is a pretty big deal for Roman Catholics and Eastern Orthodox Christians, but Protestants are sometimes a little unsure what to do with Mary. Words like Annunciation make us nervous. Deep down, we, myself included, can be a little skeptical about Mary. She's, well, a little too Catholic. But this morning, I'd like for us to pause for a moment to consider what the Gospel of Luke actually tells us about Mary. The sola scriptura Mary, if you will. Mary for Protestants. Because what God is about to reveal to us through Mary is not just good news for Mary, it's the good news for all of us. What Luke tells us about Mary is that she is a young Jewish girl from the line of David, probably no more than 14 years old, from the small, insignificant town of Nazareth. Mary is betrothed to Joseph, but not yet married, which in her time meant she had no value and certainly no power. Mary is no one really that she would be noticed, let alone favored. So when the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and announces that she has found favor with God, it's not surprising that she is scared. And she is. We are told she was much perplexed and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And when the angel announces, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David." It's not surprising that she doubts she could actually do this. And she does. "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" Mary is afraid and Mary doubts. Why would God favor her? She has nothing to offer God. And isn't God asking Mary to step into a scandal? To willingly become an unwed mother? Mary would risk being stoned to death for this. She didn't know if Joseph would marry her after he found out. In fact, we do find out that he does plan to divorce her and only changes his mind when he receives a visit from an angel of his own. And even if Joseph still agrees to marry her, people could do the math. They would know. And the angel's simple response to Mary, "Fear not, Mary. Nothing is impossible with God. Don't worry about how it'll look. Don't worry about people will say. Just trust God." It's an extraordinary request. I invite you to think about your own life. Where is God calling you? To an unexpected place? And how will you answer that call? Chris and I were faced with that question 3 years ago after an unexpected phone call. Our friend and soon-to-be neighbor, Melanie, called us to tell us she wanted to be a surrogate for us. We had just found out that despite our best attempts, I would not be able to get pregnant again. And we were not even thinking about surrogacy, so this was a bit of a shock. And I had doubts and lots of fear. This would be risky for Melanie. Every pregnancy carries with it health risks. Women die in pregnancy, even today. And Melanie has 3 children of her own who depend on her. How would she feel about giving up this baby she carried for 9 months? Would she experience postpartum depression? And it was risky for us, too. Surrogacy is costly, and there are no guarantees that it would work. Surrogacy is also controversial, especially in the church. What would people say? What would they think? We didn't know if our church would support us in this. It was a difficult decision, fraught with doubt and fear. But we also felt the nudging of the Holy Spirit. How could we say no to such a gift? Despite the risks, we did say yes. And our yes to Melanie and Melanie's yes to us brought our son Harrison into the world. I realize this is another extraordinary birth story, and you might be thinking, I don't think I will ever be called on to play a part in a story like this. And you are probably right. But the question is, where is God calling you? There's a clue in the song that Mary sings to God at the end of the gospel reading. The song is called the Magnificat, which comes from the word magnify from the opening line, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Throughout this entire song, Mary is pointing us toward God, showing us what God is doing and where God is found. She sings. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God is not found with the powerful and the rich, but with the lowly and the hungry. A couple of years ago, I was looking through my parents' old photo albums, and I came across a picture of me standing in this sanctuary. I was maybe 3 years old. I have no memory of this picture at all. And right next to me, standing right next to me, kneeling on my left side and my right side, are 2 Cambodian refugees, Sok San and Sok Chamaran. Some of you here likely remember them. Some 30 years ago, in an act of radical hospitality, this community welcomed them in. Escaping the horrors of the Cambodian genocide, it's not hard to imagine how profoundly their lives were changed. But I imagine the experience was probably transformational for this community as well. These Buddhist refugees seeking sanctuary within the walls of a Dutch Reformed church. How unexpected. Fear not, Mary, for nothing is impossible with God. And Mary, lowly little Mary, responds, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. And it's the perfect response. To understand the significance of Mary's response, we have to go back to the Old Testament. This theme of God reaching out to us in love and waiting for us to respond runs throughout Scripture. It begins in the story we read this morning with Adam and Eve. God puts our first parents in a garden and asks for obedience. As we read, they quickly disobeyed. But in their disobedience, God is still reaching out to them. God comes to the garden and calls out to them, "Where are you?" But they are ashamed and they hide. We see the same reaching out in the story of Abraham. God calls out, "Abraham, where are you?" But unlike Adam and Eve, Abraham doesn't hide. He recognizes God's call and responds, "Here I am." And God promises Abraham land and heirs as numerous as the stars in the sky, and that through his offspring, all the nations of the world will be blessed. But time passes, and Sarah doesn't become pregnant. And Abraham decides that maybe God needs a little help. So Abraham takes Sarah's slave girl, Hagar, as his wife. And Hagar bears a son, Ishmael. Abraham doubts. We see this call again when God calls to Moses from the burning bush. And Moses responds, "Here I am." God promises to deliver Israel out of slavery in Egypt and calls Moses to lead them. But Moses isn't so sure he's the right person for the task. And he argues with God over and over and only reluctantly agrees when God relents and sends Aaron to go with him. But when God calls to Mary, we see something very different. For thousands of years, the net result of God's call had been disobedience. But with Mary, the story takes a new direction. She responds with the words God has been waiting for a long time. "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Adam and Eve who hide, unlike Abraham who doubts, unlike Moses who argues, Mary recognizes God's call and responds in faith. She knows she can accomplish none of what God has promised her, but she trusts that God will bring about this amazing thing. In the face of scandal, in the face of fear, in the face of death, Mary responds by saying, "Yes." Yes to scandal. Yes to giving birth in a barn. Yes to becoming a refugee. And ultimately, yes to watching her son die on a cross. Mary just says, "Yes." And Mary's yes to God changed the world. The good news is not that Mary was somehow more worthy than the rest of us, less sinful, or even without sin. The good news is she wasn't. The good news is that God's yes to Mary is God's yes to all of us. And God shows up in the most unlikely place of all. In us. The only question is, how will we respond to God's call? May we all be like Mary, who recognizes God's call and responds by saying, "Yes." Merry Christmas. Our hope is born.
country shepherds abide in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
May Almighty God, who sent his Son to take our nature upon him, bless you in this holy season. Scatter the darkness of sin and brighten your heart with the light of his holiness. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.